Brooklyn.
Samadha Diyadavya Likam
Mother. Without further delay, you must engage yourself in worshipping the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the harsh words used by Sri Ruchi to her stepson were true, because unless one is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot achieve any success in life. And proposes God disposes. Suniti, the mother of Dhruva Maharaj, agreed with her co-wife's advice that Dhruva engage himself in the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indirectly, the words of Sri Ruchi were a benediction for Dhruva Maharaj, but for because of the influence of his stepmother's words, he became a great devotee. So Niti continued, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so great that simply by worshipping his lotus feet, their great-grandfather, Lord Brahma, acquired the necessary qualification to create this universe. Although he is unborn and is the chief of all living creatures, he is situated in that exalted post because of the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom even great yogis worship by controlling the mind and regulating the life of air, prana. Her parts, when he decided the example of Lord Brahma was Dhruva's great-grandfather, so Lord Brahma is also a living being. By his penance and austerity, he acquired the exalted position of creator of this universe by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. To become successful in any attempt, one not only has to undergo severe penances and austerities, but also must be dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This indication has been given to Dhruva Maharaj by a stepmother and is now confirmed by his own mother, Suniti. Sunidhi informed her son, your grandfather, Swayambhu Bhagavan, executed great sacrifices with the distribution of charity, and thereby, with unflinching faith and devotion, he worshipped and satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By acting in that way, he achieved the greatest success in material happiness, and afterwards achieved liberation, which is impossible to obtain by worshipping demigods. Therefore, the success of one's life is measured by one's material happiness in this life and liberation in the next. Such success can be achieved only by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words Eka Matya means concentrating one's mind on the Lord without deviation. This process of undeviating worship of the Supreme Lord is also expressed in Bhagavad Gita as Ananya Bhak. That which is impossible to obtain from any other source is also mentioned here. Other source refers to worship of demigods. It is especially stressed here that the opulence of Manu with Jedu is undeviating faithfulness in the transcendental service of the Lord. One who diverts his mind towards being a demigod to obtain material happiness is considered bereft of intelligence. If one wants even material happiness, he can worship the Supreme Lord without deviation. And persons who are desirous of liberation can also worship the Supreme Lord and achieve their goal. As I say, my dear boy, whatever has been spoken by Suruchi, your stepmother, although very harsh to hear, is factual. Therefore, if you desire at all to sit on the same throne as your stepbrother Uttama, then give up your envious attitude and immediately try to execute the instructions of your stepmother. Without further delay, you must engage yourself in worshipping the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So actually, though the words of stepmother were not given in a friendly manner, but rather more or less as an insult, they were not untrue. And therefore his mother also supports this, and that is that he should worship the Supreme Lord, Narayana. And then she gives examples of Brahma and Swayambhuva. By their worship, they attained great position. They worshipped Vishnu and they got very high position. This, of course, is material. We worship the Lord for a material goal. That is very common, of course, but it is not the ultimate goal of life. So, though this is a true statement that the Lord gives all material benedictions, it is not the limit of the Lord. In other words, he can give much more than that. So yes, people get material benedictions, but the Lord, if requested, will give other things as well. So it also mentions here that he gives liberation. So these type of benedictions are often indicated by the words bhukti and mukti. So both of these things are included in the Lord's powers. So if you want material benefits, you can worship Vishnu, or if you want liberation, you can worship Vishnu. But even then, that is not the limit of the Lord's benedictions. So higher than bhukti and mukti is bhakti. That is the highest benediction of the Lord. So the other two things become insignificant if one actually worships the Lord with devotion, without desire for bhukti or mukti. So one attains the Lord through devotional service. So this is illustrated by the story of Dhruva. When he attained the Lord, then he understood this desire for material things is useless. This desire for a kingdom is actually useless, because now that I have the Supreme Lord, I understand this is much more valuable. So, though it is commonly is a common conception of worship the Lord for material things, and it's true also. The real intelligent person, devotee, will understand there's something higher than that. And this is illustrated with the story of Dhruva. The Lord gave material things to him. He worshipped the Lord and he got material benedictions. He got the throne, he got a planet, of his own for the lifetime of Brahma, etc. He surpassed Lord Brahma. But that actually is not the real treasure that he got. He actually attained the Supreme Lord. So that is, we have to understand the benedictions of the Supreme Lord. So because the Lord is all-powerful, he can give everything. So whatever you can get by karma or jnana or yoga, you can also get by bhakti. But the devotee, real devotee, does not ask for any of these things. He only asks for bhakti. So this is the, and by the result of that is that the Lord gives himself. So this is much more rewarding for the jiva than his other goals. If you ask for the other things, the Lord can give those things, but he does not give himself. So if we want the Lord, then we have to practice purely. We cannot have this mixed type of devotion. So the common, we call these types of devotion, karma nishtha bhakti or jnana nishtha bhakti. So the Lord accepts these as processes, and he's pleased with them because at least they worship the Lord. At the same time, he is much more attracted to those who worship him purely. That is stated by the Lord himself. So he gives much more to those devotees. So as we know from Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, accordingly, as you surrender unto me, I will reward you accordingly. So if you partially surrender with mixed devotion, the Lord gives you something in according to that. If you worship the Lord with no other desires, the Lord gives himself. He gives much more. He doesn't give something, he gives himself. So this is only reasonable, that mixed devotion gets one result, and pure devotion gives another result. So according to the type of worship we do, we get a particular type of result. So for in order to enlighten us, the scriptures therefore give us the preferred method. In other words, the devotees prefer pure devotion over the other processes. What to speak of karma and jnana and other things. Even in bhakti, the Lord prefers pure bhakti. So to understand that, we have to go to the scriptures and see the actual definitions of these terms and the roles that they give. And then we can begin to practice purely. Of course, we are not perfect, so therefore when we do worship the Lord, we are not practicing purely in one sense, because we do have an artist. But at least we understand that in our practice we don't ask for things, material things, or we don't ask for liberation as part of our daily sadhana. We're not praying to the Lord for these things continuously. So though material desires may be there, we don't approach the Lord constantly for material things. And rather we try to simply pray for the service of the Lord. So this eventually matures in sadhana bhakti. And as one goes on through the process of anartha, vritti, etc., then all these other desires disappear, and more naturally one begins to worship the Lord purely. So one attains ruchi and asakti. Then the amount of anartha is very, very little. And if you reach bhava stage, of course, then it is almost zero. And so though sadhana is not pure, we have to have an idea of what that purity is and execute our devotional service without these demands. If by chance or whatever there is an occasional request to the Supreme Lord for something material, that is not a problem. But to constantly ask the Lord for material things, that becomes a problem, a mixture in one's devotional service. So therefore the devotees have to understand the difference between mixed devotion and pure devotion, and strive to practice with that purity, and eventually they get it. So simply practicing mixed devotion does not imply that eventually one automatically becomes pure. No, one can have mixed devotion and have those desires. And of course, the Lord will reward one eventually by taking one to the spiritual world and eradicating desires. But nevertheless, on one's own, one cannot remove those desires. One has to make some endeavor to do so in association with proper devotees. Simply doing karma and sarvabhakti does not mean one attains pure bhakti eventually. It's only by the grace of the Lord and the devotees that this can actually happen. So, therefore, we have to understand the real nature of pure bhakti as opposed to mixed bhakti. And then we perform pure bhakti. And then our goal is different. If we perform mixed bhakti, we get one goal. And if we perform pure bhakti, we get another goal. That means we have a direct relationship with the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world. So that is the preferred thing. However, in the process of bhakti, the Lord may give material things, as he gave Dhruva and as he gives Swayambhuva Manu or Brahma or whoever. He gives material things. So these are acceptable as long as they're not an impediment to the devotion. If these are our goal, this is one thing. If they are simply accepted for our service to the Lord, then there's nothing wrong with that. So we cannot criticize Lord Brahma or Swayambhuva Manu or even Dhruva. Dhruva became king of the world. We cannot criticize him for that. But the Lord gives these material benefits. However, for the devotee, he does not give mukti. If one gets impersonal mukti, there's no chance of bhakti, so he never gives that. But one surpasses mukti by going to the spiritual world. When there's no more birth and death, but merging in Brahman is not there at all. So one surpasses mukti by the process of bhakti. Whatever positive results are in mukti are attained in the spiritual world, and none of the negative results of mukti are present there. So the Lord may give all these different things that the devotees ask for them, and the devotee accepts them if they are favorable for his devotional service. And if they're not, if things are not, then he may avoid them. So that is why the Honorable Prabhupada says, when Bhakti and Mukti come to me and pray that we want to serve you and give you things, then the Mangal, he kicks them away. He says, I don't want to see you. He turns his back on them because he understands for his particular service these things are impediments. So he avoids them. The bhakti, of course, means enjoyment of the material world. So if he's doing sadhana, then that material enjoyment is an obstacle. And mukti, of course, is definitely an obstacle. Therefore, he rejects these two things completely. So we have to understand the difference between the processes, different processes and different goals, different results, and begin to practice purity. So in the story of Dhruva, we have this very nicely illustrated. We have this beginning where he is doing mixed devotional service. He is certainly worshipping the Lord with great determination, but his goal was that he wanted to get the kingdom. He wanted to sit on the lap of his father, except he had material cause for his devotion. And so that, of course, is not the highest goal. And then we see that he realized later that this actually is not the proper way. So from this story we can learn the difference between karma and sarvabhakti and pure bhakti.
We realize that the true desire is nothing. Only it's not really the more important. We realize later that the condition is different.
Yeah. And he realized that, and then the Lord gave it to him anyway. He gave him the kingdom anyway. He said, because you've asked for it, I should fulfill that desire, even though you don't want it. So Dhruva said, I don't want now. But then Yashoda said, you have to take, because I like to give. If my devotee asks, I like to give. So he must take. He must take the kingdom. So he took the kingdom, of course, and then later on he went up and got Dhruva Loka, etc., and they went to spiritual.
Dhruva planet is also about Dhruva, you know. Dhruva planet, the way this material was, Vaikuntha.
Well, it's something like a spiritual planet, but actually there's a little confusion there because there's a controversy. Some people say he went to the, then he went to Vaikuntha after that. It says after, I think in one place in the bottom, he went to Vaikuntha after that. So it looks like there's a difference also. Though at the same time, sometimes it's Dhruva Loka is like spiritual world. Yeah, of course, that also is a little bit difficult to understand unless it is a spiritual planet. Spiritual, obviously, can never be annihilated. Yeah? If it's a material planet, then it must go with when property dissolves, everything dissolves, then Brahmaloka dissolves. So, of course, if it's a spiritual planet, then once that is liberated, you can find Vaikuntha already, even if it's in the material world.
We have no five devotees, we have a material desire, we're not going to get pure bhakti.
No, we practice pure bhakti even in the state of having desires, that is uttama bhakti. In other words, we go through a process of adharjana vritti, where we do have desires. Nevertheless, it is called uttama bhakti. It's called pure bhakti, even in the stage of sadhana. Because we understand the goal, and we're not constantly asking for things. Even if we have material desires. But yeah, as long as we have material desires, yes. As long as we don't attain frame, then we have to take birth again.
The Lord is sitting in the devotee's palace, Padmasana. So even before the devotee asks him personally, he will be knowing what his desire is. Lord, he will be knowing the desire of the devotee, even before the devotee asks him personally. Like Dhruva.
Yeah. Whatever, but usually they also ask it. In other words, even Dhruva didn't ask in one sense, but he was simply doing the worship, expecting to get a kingdom. He didn't ask the Lord, he didn't see the Lord. So it wasn't that he expressed it in words, but that was his intention. So the Lord understood that.
The conditioned soul, out of its experience only, it develops the desires. Because it is experiencing only the material things here and not the spiritual bliss it has experienced, how can it give up the desires what it is experiencing and aspire for something which is not experienced by it?
Yeah, through gradual process of association. When we say we accept everything at the mercy of the Lord, that's in reference to our karma. When in favorable and unfavorable, that's in terms of our practice of bhakti.
The Lord is said to be the personification of love. So whatever the form he may, avatar he may take, why is that he is not showing the love as he shows in the form of Krishna?
They all show love. But in different degrees according to the form.
Umajnana timarandu.